Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
Hey, this is Mega Ran, teacher, rapper, hero, waffle lover. And you're checking out ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Turn it up and share.
Welcome to the show to give you all the news, views, and opinions in the world of gaming. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extras. So let's start with your host, Dax Xavier Josiah. Power up and game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. I'm hoping everybody is having a great week. We got a lot of news in the world of gaming to talk about, so much so that I actually had to cut some off. I'm saving it for next week. We got some reviews to talk about, two big reviews, in my opinion, that I want to discuss this week. And one I'll save for next week. The other one is thoughts on a demo that I checked out that I'm hoping everybody got a chance to play, if you're on a Nintendo Switch, of course. And so much more news involving E3 and everything. But before I do that, I want to make an announcement to those. If you haven't checked out this week's episode of Talk Time Live, the Prime Show with myself and guest Dan Matthews, formerly the writer of Geekadelphia here in Philadelphia, definitely go out of your way to check it out. We talk about the season finale showdown of the shows that has been airing on TV, our favorite comic book shows, to give our opinions on what we thought was the best, worse, or whatever going on there. Plus, I had some big news to talk about, which I'm going to reiterate right here, and that is there will be three big guests coming down the line leading to September, actually. As you guys know, if you're in the Philadelphia area, Keystone Comic Con, the inaugural event, is coming here in Philadelphia, and we have the honor and pleasure of getting three guests that will be premiering and appearing, actually, in that con. And this con is also promoted by Reed Pop, if you guys know that name. It's the company that is going all around the world, actually, with different cons, but their biggest flagship is New York Comic Con. Pretty much arguably the second best con in the country. That the first one being San Diego Comic-Con, and these guys are coming to Philadelphia September 14th to the 16th, and they are bringing a really significant group of guests with them. One of them is a good friend of mine, and I actually had the pleasure. It's been in the talks for quite a while about this. I had to shut tight about this information until it was actually official. And now it is actually official. Molly Flanagan is coming to Philadelphia. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Hokage herself, the voice of Naruto, is coming to Philadelphia. We talked recently. We texted each other, and great news all around. And I can't wait. She's coming to Philly. I finally get a chance to spend time and hang out with her. You know, say outside of the con at that, we've become really good friends, and I couldn't be more blessed and happy to get a chance to know this woman. She is not only just a, you know, an iconic voice for one of the most iconic characters in anime, but she is a freedom fighter as well. And I mean, just so many things that she does, and you know, outside, in and outside of the mic, in the studios and whatever. And you know, you've seen her on Shameless, you've seen her on The Mindy Project, Disney's Lab Rats, just so many other, you know, she's an Emmy Award winner. Can't speak enough about her, but we're going to get a chance to hook up and meet. And not only that, she will be returning to Talk Time Live down that during that time. So we're going to have a lot to talk about there. And, you know, it's going to be great. Not only is she going to be on the show, in a couple weeks, Mega Ran is returning to the show as well. He will be at Keystone Comic Con, and he's going to be at J1 Con as well. So he's doing double duty. He's coming back to the Delaware Valley area to do double duty. J1Con, if you guys are in the Jersey area, if you're still strong on J1Con, that is going to be at Atlantic City this year, the same day as Keystone Comic Con, and that is actually going to be at the Showboat. So he's stepping up his game as well, and he's got a pretty damn good cast of people too. Mega Ran will be performing there. He will be performing at Keystone Comic Con. He's going to be on the show to talk about his new album that I believe he will be releasing very soon, in about a couple weeks, along with his partner in crime, actually, Felix Bag of Tricks. which is a really, really great lyricist himself. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his ventures. I mean, he's been doing a hell of a lot since we last checked, out with him when he was in Philadelphia for Philomoka. He also was the Guinness Book of World Records winner recipient. So we got to talk about that, his ventures throughout the wrestling touring of WWE and more, and what he's been, you know, get his wrestling. We're going to talk wrestling news, definitely. We're going to talk a lot of wrestling as well as gaming and a lot of the things that he's been doing as well. So stay tuned for that. The third guest that will be coming also come into Philly, and he is very special because he's the first big star that we had on the show. He is none other than Eric Elric himself, the Full Metal Alchemist, a.k.a. Vic Mignogna, the first guest we ever had on the show. He's making an appearance for the first time in possibly like 2 years that he's been on the show. Not only that, I get to finally see him in person, too. Last time I got to see him was at J1Con event years ago, but I never got a chance to interview him then. I reached out to him after that, and, you know, he was gracious enough to be on the show with us, with myself and the full cast at the time. And he was great. And now we get to catch up with him and all the things that he's doing. And I finally get a chance to see him in person as well. So I'm looking very forward to the events that are coming this summer. My entire summer is officially booked solid. It's like I got so many things going on, not only just with that, but also with other things going on in my world with Viewfinders, Identity Search and Design, my design group and firm. And it's going to be great. I can't wait. 2018 is, you know, really stepping up the game for myself and ACMG as well. So stay tuned for all that as more. But ladies and gentlemen, I digress. Let's talk some games here. We got some news to talk about here, so let's get on it. Nintendo Switch owners, if you will, please tell me that you got a chance to check out, download the demo to Mario Tennis. That the newest tennis game that's coming out soon. Is a lot of hype for this game. If you played any of the Mario Tennis games before, you should expect a lot of fun here. They're a lot of fun to play, but this time there's going to be a story mode to it. That's what I'm most excited about. It's the one thing that was missing from the other Mario games, because they were just, you know, really good fun, you know, sports simulators. This time, over-the-top simulators at that. And I love over-the-top sports games. And Mario Tennis is one of the best when it comes to that. So the demo is out. You get a chance to play it. I think there's like 4 different characters you can play through. Mario, Peach, I believe Bowser's the other one. And I think the other one, it might be Toad, if I'm correct. I don't remember. Or is it Luigi? I forgot. But I've only tried it with Mario. But the great part about this game is that it has a different feel to it this time. There's different techniques that you can play. I'll go more thoroughly when the game arrives, and I'll be able to really thoroughly dissect it for sure. But the vibe I got from this one, because I also have it for the 3DS, the other 3DS games, and this, the All-Star Sports version of that too. But the different feel that I have that I love about this is that it feels more like a fighting game this time than just a normal tennis game. You get to do a hell of a lot. And he even has like a they all have spectacular super moves that if you, you know, defend hard enough, if you serve the ball back hard enough, you earn energy to your gauge. And if you fill that gauge up, you can do a really hardcore super serve, so to speak, that can rather knock your opponent off his ass or, you know, serve past him, but it usually targets to him. And I have video footage of that on the ACMG Facebook group, and I may actually put it on Instagram as well. It's really great. It felt right. It's so good, and it's very competitive. this time around too. Like I said, very easy to use. It's always been a user-friendly way of playing. I played a ton of tennis games over the years, but Mario Tennis has always been very user-friendly. This one is even more user-friendly. The gameplay schematics and such. So I'm looking forward to this. It's coming out the 22nd, I believe, this month. A lot of things is coming out this month, and I'm looking forward to it. So stay tuned for that. Again, if you haven't played it yet, if you've ever been interested, and I say, damn, if you're a fighting game fan, jump on this. This is a really fun game to play. You get that fight feel with it, too. They're going to have a lot more characters, and again, this is going to be a story mode to it. The best part about this game is if you have a 256, card, micro SD card, you're going to love this because the game is only like 1.6 gigs that they fit in. Another reason why I'm thinking that we're going to get a certain fighting game coming soon, I'll be talking about later on in this game, in this episode as well. So definitely jump out of your way. Go out of your way to jump on this game, and I guarantee you're going to have a lot of fun with it, and you may actually invest in getting the full game when it comes out. So there's some other changes going on here. There was a recent update to the Nintendo Switch firmware, and with that update came some changes in the eShop, some really cool changes and interesting changes in the eShop. For instance, now if you go in there, and I noticed this, there, if you look at certain games, like the coming soon section, there has been some interesting things. Some of the games actually say estimated date. And I find that very interesting and intriguing. Now, it might have been something that been sprouted since some of the game releases that has flopped a bit. And I'm talking like maybe 2K Games, for instance, who, you know, were supposed to come out in November, wound up coming out December. And not only that, it came out unfinished, and I think they are. I think Nintendo's now working. There's a lot of companies, actually, not even just Nintendo, but there's a lot of companies now in the events of Facebook that has started to like really put more detail and attention to their product and their brand. And I like this. You know, Facebook was the first one, you know, with the big leak and all that stuff, and the compromising of the voting and such, and the manipulating of the elections that's been happening, prior to our election with the, which led us to what we're going through right now. But in the midst of this, other companies have decided to really start putting more detail to Uber has also now has done this. Like, they have commercials that are saying like, we hear you, we're going to make changes, we're going to pay attention more, we're going to listen to you. I think Nintendo's going on the same road here because now they're starting to do things. It looks like they're starting to tighten up their belts too, as far as developers who are, you know, making sure that they come out with products that are absolutely ready and approved of by them, because they let some go apparently that weren't at satisfactory level, and it hurts. It really hurts Nintendo in some cases too. So when you have like a WWE 2K, who normally you would expect for them to come out with a good product and game, not a perfect one at best, but, you know, one satisfactory enough to be playable and all this stuff. And then you have all this going on, you get all these complaints, and then, you know, you got customers that are coming to them when in fact they should be going to 2K. And people don't know this, that like Nintendo only gives them the format to publish the games out there. They're not the ones that are responsible for the games. They give them the open forum. That's like me, you know, having people in my ACMG Facebook group, I'm allowing them to publish and post content there. I have to be the one to approve of it to make sure that they're not putting in anything that's unsatisfactory to the continuity and nature of what I produce for ACMG, the brand, and to make sure that, you know, it's appropriate. You know, that is, you know, that people are going to enjoy what they're seeing from the person who is posting or publishing or whatever. So they have a responsibility to do themselves. They can't just let everybody just post, you know, or publish on there. And I respect it. I respect it wholeheartedly because of certain things EA used to been doing and certain things that 2K has been doing. There's a satisfactory. So they have to meet requirements. And this also goes for like podcasts too, especially iHeartRadio. You're not getting on iHeart or iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play unless you meet certain satisfactory, unless you have a certain quality feel and brand to it. Like this show right now would not have made it. And my biggest goal when this first started was, I need this to make it on iTunes. If this doesn't make iTunes, this is not worthy of a podcast to make it. This made it on iTunes in a shorter time than it was supposed to, along with the other ones as well. And iHeartRadio is the newest one. Thank you, iHeartRadio, and thank all of them for allowing me to do what I do here at that because of that. But I digress. You know, when it comes to these games, we want really good games. We pay a lot of money for these games, and their bundle packs and their DLCs and all this stuff. So we want the best experience ever. So with that said, they're making these changes. What they're doing is they're adding things like estimated dates now. They, you know, for that. So it'll tell you that it's estimated to come out set date, but it's almost like cards subject to change. That's what it pretty much coming out. So I do kind of like that in a sense that it really shows like, okay, there may be in development. Because, I mean, behind the scenes, we don't really know what these guys are going through when they develop these games. More for crowdfunders especially. At least they keep you more intimate with that situation. If you've invested in the crowdfunding of a game, you kind of get updates on what happens in certain games. Whereas, like, if you're an established, like, AAA company or developer, they don't really keep you, you know, invested. Like I said, 2K Games, the one thing that they did wrong was not communicate with their fan base, their consumer base. And as a result, there was a lot of upset people. And also, consequently, I don't know if they're going to get that fan base back. I don't know if they're, you know, people are going to invest in 2K again as far as the WWE aspect of it. You know, there was a lot of people that were extremely upset about their experience with the Switch, and it was very upsetting. I mean, I can tell you this. I've said it myself. I'm skeptical about, you know, investing in 2K games again for that, because of that. So, it's really interesting that that's going to happen with that. But Nintendo's working hard to make sure these changes are happening from that. Other things that they're changing, too, is that... what else are they doing here? They changed some of the categories as well. Now they have great sales replaces sales. There they changed some names. Features replaces hot sellers. Best sellers now have an option. If you look in there, that they have a section category for all games and download only games in there. So, I mean, that's kind of separating and, you know, making it easier for people to check on, because there's some people who like just download only titles, I guess, in there. So the changes arrived about the day after the updated firmware version 5.1.0 has appeared. So if you don't have auto update on your set, manually set it or set it to do it, make sure that I always tell people, make sure that you update everything, not just the games. I'm talking about your phones, all this stuff, because people have a superstition. There are certain people who have superstitions about updating. It makes no sense at all. It's just lack of just ignorance in a case. Just educate yourself on why it's important to update your firmware and stuff like that, because you're going to damn yourself later on as time goes up. And I mean, lo and behold, what's going to happen is that, you know, things won't work as good as they should have because you didn't upgrade your firmware. And then eventually and inevitably, even, you're going to end up having to, you know, get a new system or change it up anyway. But you got to update. You have to update, rather, especially on your computers and such. You can't let I've people who I find that hasn't updated things, like there's like tons of different updates, whether it's apps or just your, you know, your operating system alone that has an update. That's dangerous, people. I'm telling you now. I bet my computer science degree on that. That is extremely dangerous for you to do. Please update your system. Keep your system healthy at all times. It's your baby. You need to take care of your computers and your electronic equipment as much as you would take care of a living being or a pet or whatever. So just a little note there. Speaking of the new ways that Nintendo is keeping up to make sure quality assurance within the games, the company known as... what is the company's name? Yeah, Cardboard Robot Games, who is creating a fighting game I've been looking forward to for so long, because I am still an owner, an avid fan of the classic and underrated Neo Geo Pocket A lot of people never really got a chance to rock that portable system, but Neo Geo came out with a portable game years ago. I mean, generations ago at this point. That was like a kind of an 8-bit gaming system, but it's hard to explain. I think it's more 8-bit than 16-bit in a sense. It's like an in-between. It's definitely 8-bit. But though how they put things together, it was really cool. The sprites were really cool, and they were making fighting games out of this. They were making an assortment of different really cool games, but mostly fighting games they were doing here. And like their version, like a super deformed version of Last Blade, a super deformed version of King of Fighters, super deformed version of Fatal Fury, and all these types of games that were coming out, Art of Fighting, all these games. My favorite one in particular is actually, what is the game? It was SNK versus Capcom Card Fighters. And I still own that. In fact, that cartridge is right on my desk right now as a memento of what I love. It's one of the greatest. I really say this, and I've even played Yu-Gi-Oh! And I didn't like it. This was the best, well-played, well-balanced card fighter I've ever played. It was so much fun. It really felt good. And they've never been able to duplicate that game ever since. I think they tried again, and the second one was nowhere near as good as this one. It played like a Pokemon style game, but these guys have, you know, paid homage to that and just looking to come out with their own fighting game called Pocket Rumble, which is scheduled to come out soon. They just came out with a video release stating that they had a few delays going on, and they were very, and I love these guys for it. I'm trying to reach out to these guys to see if I can get them on the show, but they've been very honest about what they were doing in the developments. These are not like, they're not everyday, their everyday job is not game development. They're doing this on the side, much like a lot of indie developers out there. You know, some indie developers are, you know, guys who are working in the industry and quit the industry to try to do their own thing and make it themselves. Others have other jobs and they're doing it on the side. These guys are one of them. And they admit that, like, they have day jobs that they're doing, but they're doing this on the side. It was supposed to come out, but there were a few delays due to the fact that they didn't meet all the requirements that Nintendo wanted them to make before they are approved to go to eShop. They have announced that they have finally met those requirements, and they are expected to come out anytime from now to the end of July. So stay tuned for that. If you have seen this game, if you played the Neo Geo Pocket, you're going to love this game. It looks awesome. Actually, it's not even just it looks like the game. The game, from an animation standpoint, has stepped up majorly. It looks much better than the motion, the animation in this game. It looks like they added a few more sprites to this game to give it, because they can now. It's on a new system, and, you know, it's on a Steam, actually, from what I understand. It's like they have a early version of it on a Steam right now. And the difference with Steam is that Steam allows you to they're allowed to publish on Steam without any too much restriction and requirements. Steam is a newer type of, you know, thing, so maybe they are a little bit more, you know, flexible in their case at this time. Whereas Nintendo is really protective of their brand, so I understand where they're going at with this. So, but they're making progress on Steam first. So any of the updates and tests and everything that they're doing on Steam, and then later on they're going to bring it onto the Nintendo Switch when it's all solidified and complete there. So as an apology, and I really love this because a lot of games have done it, including the game that I will be reviewing here today, which is Shaq Fu and Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, but we're more or less Shaq Fu in this case. We actually had an apology from them, and as an apology gift to those who have crowdfunded them, they are going to give away a free Switch version of the game along with those who have purchased the Steam version. So they're getting two versions. If you have a Nintendo Switch as well as the Steam, then you will have the opportunity to get a free version of Pocket Rumble for that, and I think that's awesome. That's absolutely a great thing that they're doing. It's good for business for them to do that. I wish major game companies a la 2K would do the same, because stuff like that, they ran us ragged with this. And I think that for those who stuck by, because there are people who got refunds for 2K, for WWE 2K 18 for the Switch, and rightfully so. And I don't blame them. But for those like myself who stuck by them through this whole entire thing, and I reported before, the game has gotten much better in a sense. It's much more playable now. It looks much better now than it ever did. But there still has some things that they got to work on, and hopefully they are working on it. But hopefully, I guarantee they're working on 19 right now. Hopefully, if it's coming back for the Switch, I think they need to compensate the same. And in certain, I don't know if it should, I don't agree that it maybe should be free, but I think there should be a huge discount of some cases, or we should get some free DLC or something. They need to apologize for the mess that they made with that. And I got a feeling they're not going to do it. They're not going to honor that. And that's the bad part about them, which is still, I think they need to really redeem themselves for what they've done in this case. But looks like there's a lot of other companies that are doing it, you know, after the effects of games like that. And I really appreciate it. So, like, they're giving away their games to the backers and really, you know, honoring that and thanking them for, because they, you know, in all seriousness, like, they understand that they're humble about it. You know, they understand that they, you know, people have invested in them. People have trusted them to do so. I mean, we've seen this happen with Keiji Inafune with Mighty No. 9. Unfortunately, he hasn't, you know, bounced back extremely from that situation. And, you know, backers are asked out in this case. And they never really fixed those problems either. Or, you know, it was, that's a whole nother discussion right there. But nonetheless, these guys are, you know, doing it. And when the game releases, a lot of people are going to be able to enjoy it. Here's the other thing I have, too. He went to say that the updates of the game are Steam, but I actually think I mentioned that. That's my notes here. Yeah, that's notes I got. The game, actually, when it arrives between now and July, it will be up for $9.99, and that's a great... Actually, that's a really good... So I think I remember when I played, the Pocket games, I think they were at least no more than $30 per game, which was a, you know, which was a really good, especially considering a Neo Geo game, because you remember how those things used to cost. But the Neo Geo Pocket itself, they were really cool. I still own mine. I don't think it works at this case, but just for the hell of it, I actually have two. I have the blue camouflage version. I had the traditional silver one that I had, and it was, they were just really great to play. I wish I could play them again, because I would love to play that SNK versus Capcom Pocket Fighter again, Card Fighter again. So great. But look forward to that, and hopefully, again, I will definitely review the game when it comes out. I also will hopefully get a chance to reach out. Ooh, excuse me. hopefully I get a chance to reach out to those guys and really get a fundamental, you know, discussion of what they had to go through to put that together and such. And, you know, I would love to learn more about what these indie developers have to go through in this case. We, you know, we talked to the guys who created Cat Quest and, you know, Chef Brigade as well. You know, so hopefully we get a chance, you know, Desmond Wong from the Gentle Brothers and, you know, Tom Eastman from Trinket Studios. So hopefully we get to talk to these guys and we get to learn more about what it takes to actually develop an indie game in this day, because this is becoming the hottest, you know, subculture within the gaming industry right now. And it's really cool to hear and learn about more about what these guys do. So we got to have some E3 talk here, because the conference actually has just the schedule for the conference actually has been mentioned here. So we're going to talk about a little bit of that. So looks like, from what I understand, and this is the schedule, the conference schedule that they normally have every year at E3. And it looks like they are keeping the same thing. It looks the same setup every year. So EA is going to do their, and this is going to be, EA is going to be interesting this year to focus on, because of all the crap that they had to do throughout this entire year in 2017 and stuff with the microtransaction. They are at the heart of the microtransaction situation. So I am really interested to seeing how they recover from this, and what are they doing to combat the microtransaction situation. Are they going to continue it? Are they going to cut it off completely? We will see. It'll be premiering Saturday, June 9th. That's going to be the beginning of that conference. So look forward to that. It's going to be 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, you remember there will be replays if you miss it. You'll be able to find the replays on YouTube. You'll be able to find the replays on IGN. I know they're going to be playing today. I think GameStop may be airing it as well. Twitch is definitely, I believe, going to be airing it as well. They're usually the normal covers of that. So normally I don't jump on to EA. I have last year, but I'm not really excited about EA. I'm more interested this year in seeing how they're going to, you know, redeem themselves from the redemption is a lot of things that it's the key word for the day. This episode, let's see how EA redeems themselves from what they've done, because they were, like I said, they were at the heart of the controversy. They had some games that they were coming out with. I believe Mass Effect, there was some trouble with that, but I think they fixed it. But it also had some situations that many gamers weren't happy about, and the microtransaction with Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront as well. Big deal. So, reason why I didn't want to get UFC 3 was because of that microtransaction. It was still there. So, I said I wasn't going to even touch that game unless it goes $19.99 at this point. You know, if that. So, that's, you know, pretty much the only... That's the only reason why I haven't played it again. Because I actually... It's the only real MMA game out right now, and they unfortunately are the only ones that have it. We don't have a THQ anymore. We don't have a Aki anymore, who could have done a phenomenal job on a good fighting game engine for that system. So, I mean, Fire Pro World is going to be the only close thing we have to another MMA game, because there will be MMA in that game, guaranteed, in there. So, you know, you got that right there. At least to my knowledge, they'll have MMA. Fire Pro Wrestling series has always had MMA in there. Just this year is going to be more catered to New Japan Pro Wrestling this year. So I'm interested in seeing, you know, are they going to have everything that they normally have on there as well. But that's usually the thing. So EA is going to be very interesting to check out. Sunday, June 10th, is going to be the Microsoft conference. And that's always going to be interesting from a standpoint of, like, what are they going to do to combat this year with them? You know, they always are. If this was a marathon or a race, they're running in third, always trying to catch up to second and first. Second and first, usually Nintendo. First usually is PlayStation, or last year in this case, it was Nintendo, and second was PlayStation. But Microsoft was always steady at third. What are they going to do to combat this? What are they going to, what games are they going to announce that's going to make people like, hey, I want to get an Xbox now? So that's going to be interesting. Their conference is going to be 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, it'll be streaming everywhere as well. So stay tuned for that as well. And there's other local list, times, frames, and such like that. But I'm only focusing on Pacific and Eastern at this point. Bethesda. We'll also be having their conference at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. So you want to stay tuned for that. I believe we talked about this last week. They got a lot of interesting developments coming for people as well. So stay tuned for that. It looks interesting. Monday, June 11th, is not announced yet, actually, for what I'm saying. Square Enix is supposed to have their conference. It is possibly believed the conference time... Oh, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm mentioning the pre-shows for those for IGN. So, actually, it's still good, because IGN pretty much does really good pre-shows. Now, again, my only pet peeve is that there needs to be more representation, minority representation in these shows that they do. Because it's all white. To me, it's all whitewashed to some extent. But that's a whole nother discussion. I'm not gonna jump on IGN's, you know, choices for host, but because they do great jobs, but it just I do oftentimes feel like that they need definite more representation. I think that needs to be acknowledged. It's almost like, okay, only, you know, minorities are just good for esports and all that stuff, but other than that, it's like they don't understand the game aspect or the game development aspect of the world. That doesn't make any sense. I know there's a lot of, you know, people of color in the gaming development world. And there's one in particular that works for 2K Games as well. It's very well known. So, yeah, that's a whole other story. But actually, let me go back on that. EA actual conference time is 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Microsoft, it's 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bethesda is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stay tuned for that. Square Enix has, there is no, at the moment, there is no, it is no available time for the pre-show for IGN, but that is the time that they're going to start is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, June 11th for Square Enix. So stay tuned for that one. That's going to be very interesting. You know what we're looking for. They have to break down that release date for Kingdom Hearts. We're also looking for more information on the remake of Final Fantasy VII, as well as the Marvel Avengers project that they've been teasing for God knows how long. So that needs to be talked about as well. And I'm hoping E3 will be, there will be more information on that, because that's extremely interesting to see what they're coming out. Hopefully, I pray that it's a action RPG. Something similar to that of Kingdom Hearts with a mixture of the Ultimate Alliance reboots, because I absolutely love those games. By the way, I'm so glad that they brought those back out. I'm so glad they did, because it's been a long time coming. Those are great games. The remakes was awesome. I need to go back and play those games again. You know, act like I know. And really, those are a lot of fun. So, yeah, Square Enix, that's going to be the big focus point, in my opinion, of what they're asking for, because they dropped the bomb that year. When they announced that the remake for the remake of Final Fantasy VII, and added to that, you know, with no Kingdom Hearts right now, this is the year. This has got to be it. This has got to be the time that they do it. It's been way too long. This is what, the fifth year, maybe? I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that this is the fifth year that we were, that they were talking Kingdom Hearts, Kingdom Hearts, Kingdom Hearts, and we have seen nothing but remakes of it. So, well, I look, it's now or never with that one. So they may be the reason why there may be a riot in E3 if they don't get an answer for that. So we'll see. Or trash being thrown in the stage for the first time ever. But we got that going on. Ubisoft, is their conference will be at the same day, June 11th, at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's going to be interesting. I don't know what the hell they're going to be announcing from there, but it's always a lot of fun. Ubisoft is always a lot of fun. Aisha Tyler of Archer fame is usually on there hosting. She's a no-joke gamer. She is the revolutionary female gamer out there. She games more than any of the celebrities I've ever seen out there that's gaming. And there's a lot of gaming celebrities out there, but she is no joke. She's a great host every year. And looking forward to seeing what they're going to provide, what new games that Ubisoft is going to have to offer there. So then there's going to be a PC gaming show out there, same day, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stay tuned for that. And then we get to the big ones. Sony is coming 6 p.m. that night and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. This is usually the one, man. This is usually the one everybody gets their eyes at. What the hell are they going to show? We already know Spider-Man's coming out. We got the release date for that. Everybody's already pre-ordered their game. I can't wait for that. So September is going to be such a great month. For a lot of reasons. But, you know, that's coming out. And what other games are they going to premiere? What other news are they going to have? What are they going to do to reclaim their crown? To, you know, reclaim their throne? That was actually, their title was taken from last year by Nintendo. Easily. I'm like, it was really, there was some sad, it was really disappointing for the first time in years. This was interesting. This was like, this is the Eagles and the Patriots, I guess, pretty much. You know, the Patriots have been rocking it for years, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Eagles come in and take it out of the blue. Nintendo is the Eagles. I'm sorry. That's the only analogy I can make from this. But, or it's like when, like, Holly Holmes took out Ronda Rousey. I mean, if you want to put it to that extent, you know, Buster Douglas, you know, taking it to Tyson, Anderson Silva going down. I have a whole bunch of analogies for this, but this is what happened with Sony. These are the guys that are usually ruled the year, and last year was really disappointing. I mean, even right up to the presentation itself, and they knew that they didn't have enough to give them. What do they have to offer this year? What are they going to do to shine us? Is it going to be Shenmue? What is it going to be? What can possibly happen? You know, new fighting game, new Street Fighter 6, maybe? Who knows? anything can happen at this point. Mortal Kombat is also, you know, we haven't heard anything from that. So, what are we going to get? Any more exclusives? I don't know, man. We'll see about that. So, plus, you know, those leaked, you know, those alleged leak schedules, you know, it's starting to seem like some of them are legit, you know, and I say this from a standpoint of Nintendo, who actually released the announcement of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, which in fact was on the list of names of games that they were announcing last week. And that's very interesting. That is extremely interesting from a standpoint that, okay, if that's the case, there were also announcements that Punch-Out was going to be announced as well, a new Punch-Out game. And if that's the case, I can't wait for Nintendo's showcase. Nintendo, June 12th, the last ones of E3, will be premiering 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to watch E3's presentation pre-show, it's going to be at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for that one. I don't, which means it's going to be, but like, I believe 9:30, no, about 9:30, 10 or 10:30, no, actually 11:30 Pacific Standard Time on our times here. So we're going to get the presentation there, you know, at that point. So check that out, see what they're going to predict there. And I'm very interested in seeing how Nintendo is going to, you know, come back from what they did. Because, I mean, we still got Metroid Prime 4, so we may get some footage of that and maybe a release date for that as well. We already got the Pokemon stuff, you know, out of the way. They did an early release of that. There was a lot of early releases for E3, so it leads me to believe that there's going to be even more coming out during the week of E3 for all these guys. They just gave us a, you know, a tease of what they had to offer here. So I'm looking very much forward. We're going to do a major cover of this, and that's going to be my insanely big episode that I'm going to cover that week. It's going to be absolutely insane. And actually, I don't know if there may be a delay of this show, and as a result, because this is going to be a multi-day type of situation, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I might just actually wait, so we might not even have a show until this week is over, the E3 week is over, and then I'll cover it. I may have a guest possibly for that week. I may not. I will see. But I'm looking forward to this at any time. This is going to be awesome. This is really going to be intriguing this year for a lot of reasons for E3. So stay tuned for that and much more on that note. So as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to some reviews here. I've been waiting for this review for quite a while. Two big reviews. Actually, it was going to be three. I did check out Icy, which just came out for the Nintendo Switch. Is the game, what was it, the Game Awards, 2017 Game Awards winners for Best Chinese Game Development, and there's a reason for that. So we're going to cover that, but next, we're going to cover that next week, so because there was just too much going on this week. But we got a game that many people have been waiting to play for quite some time, and let me tell you, it's well worth the wait, and that is Shaq Fu. The Legend Returns. Why this is so significant of a game, of a downloadable game that you gotta check out, is because many of you gamers who've been out in the 90s and owned a Sega Genesis, think back of that, Sega Genesis, you know, from way back when, and or a Super Nintendo from way back when, and has played the original Shaq Fu, which was originally supposed to be a fighting game that wind up being the biggest flop. One of the biggest flops, a legendary flop at the time. And because that's all we had, we cherished it. Some of us cherished it. They, like I said before, they even made this game is so legendary for being so bad. They, like, this is probably the game's version of The Room in some cases. Like, this was supposed to be you didn't know what to expect when you got it. It was like, I can't, what the hell is going on here? So this game was so bad that it even is remembered fondly as a cult classic in its sense. So much so that it was even mentioned in an episode of ABC's Fresh Off the Boat, which had Shaq in there poking fun of himself. And that's the part I really admire about Shaq, is that he had some failures. he had some, whether it was from movies, whether it was from his rap career, whether it was from video games, he had some failures, but the man keeps it going and he is still doing his thing, and people appreciate him more. I even appreciate him more because of that, because it's a testament of like how people need to, you know, it's a lesson. He's a great lesson to learn from in a case of if you fail, and this man has failed. I mean, come on, Shazam, still. It's countless things that he's done, but there's also some really good things that he's done too. And he has so much charisma, and so he has so much fun doing what he's doing that it's like he brushes it off, goes to the next thing. He still makes his money. He still is famous. He's a legend in the NBA and so much more. But what he is a true gamer, because anybody else who have done this possibly, most people who have tried it, who failed at coming out with a first game like he did, would have probably just, you know, called it a day. This man's passion for gaming has waited so many years that even now it's 2018. That game was out, what, in the 90s? He waited for so long to make this game that he finally made it. He was determined to make a fun game, not the best game in the world, nor did he need to. He just needed to make a playable, fun game. And not only did he have a playable, fun game here, ladies and gentlemen, this game, if you love anything that is like Adult Swim or anything of that nature, this game is for you, because this game is just ridiculous from the door. From the jump, the minute that you play the game and you go into the story mode, which is well-drawn cutscenes and motion comic type of style, but the minute that you go into the game, he's narrating the game and he warns you that the story is very convoluted and full of holes. Like, they're just having fun with this game, and they're not making this a serious type of thing. They're not trying to make it serious. They're just trying to have a lot of fun in this game. And it literally, the disclaimer is very correct. This is a very convoluted storyline. There's a lot of plot holes. It doesn't make any damn sense, but it mimics that of how you were when you were a kid and you were making up your own stories of a martial arts film and how you would put it together, and it never made sense at all. And this is kind of that type of situation here. But so he's poking fun at himself and the whole nature of the game, what it is. But that's the beauty of the game itself, is that it pokes fun. And it just, a lot of the nature of the game, the dialogue and everything, is anything that you've seen on Adult Swim. It's really fun. It's mindless. It really is a mindless, fun beat 'em up style that's very reminiscent of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. Very reminiscent of that style. You could tell they're paying a lot of homage to that game. And why not? That was a very fun game. Not the remaster version. I didn't mind the remaster version too much, but the original Turtles in Time was such a great and fun game. This picks on that and takes from that a bit. In the best way. They take all the great elements of that part. So you got that fun beat-em-up style game with tons of dialogue and voice acting from Shaq and a whole bunch of other people in the game that has contributed their voice talents to the game. Tons of fun, funny one-liners and fourth wall-breaking jokes that any Adult Swim fan would love. I mean, like, if you watch anything from like Mike Tyson's Mysteries to Black Dynamite, this is definitely your type of series. This is just absolutely awesome on that aspect. Controls are very simple and user-friendly. Nothing really big there. Although, my only pet peeve, I wouldn't say a pet peeve, I give it a small minor negative, a soft negative, if you will, is that they don't give you the option to change the control scheme around, and I wish they did, but nonetheless, it's not that big of a deal because the control scheme is still easy to play. Me for personal use, I would like to switch certain things around to make it even more fun for myself, but the game, it's really easy to play. You know, you have a jump button, you have a light attack button, but you also have a 22-inch attack button that if you use the regular light attack button in combos and then use it with that, you see this big shoe. It looks like, I can't pause it enough to see if it was an actual Timberland boot or an actual, baller shoe. You know, not big baller, by the way. It's just actual pair of sneaks. But it's really cool. You also gain access to, you know, different items too that can help you along the way, such as which is called the Big D suit for, you know, and you become Shaq Diesel, and sort of kind of a poke at Steel. So you had this mech suit on that kind of was reminiscent of his Steel, and they do mention Steel in the game, and they actually, again, they poke fun of the fact that Steel sucked. Like, he pulls no punches, man. They go full blast on his game at his failures when he's done. You know, so there's mentions of Steel being a failed movie or Shazam or stuff like that. So all that gets mentioned. What the funny part about it is that in the game, he mentions that how good this game is and how much he wants to make another Steel game. I don't know how true that is. Maybe they're joking around. Hopefully they are. But nonetheless, it's really fun to hear. It's, you know, kind of did Polish fourth wall type wall breaking here. So you also get right now, the other suit that you get, which is really weird, and it's a cactus suit. He dresses up in a cactus suit. He even mentions, like, what the hell are the developers doing when they thought about this? So it's a lot of fourth wall breaking here. But what it does also, you get other abilities with these suits, and you get to wreak more havoc in these suits. So there's some really cool things going on here. There's a lot of redemption in this game that is already off the chain in here. And it, again, there's so much in this game that you got to play. Other options that they have, such as the Shackopedia mode, which provides you with all sorts of extra content, including character bios, movie clips that you unlock throughout the game, and special items that you see in the game, including a shameless plug for Icy Hot, which is hilarious. Because and if you're in this country and you've seen Shaq commercials before, it's rather the general insurance that he's doing, that he's endorsing. Or it's the Icy Hot that he's endorsing. And this is continuing off because normally if you see a fighting beat-em-up game, there's usually like if it's Final Fight or, Streets of Rage, you're picking up like for some random meat in the street, like chicken or whatever like that. So you're picking it up and it replenishes you the wholeheartedly. In this case, you get Icy Hot and it replenishes all of your energy back up. It's hilarious. And the funny part about it is that he says something about the best oxymoron you can provide or something like that nature. It's really insanely funny. The music in the game is a mix of Shaq's, hip-hop tracks and altered renditions of classics such as Michael Jackson's Beat It and the OJ's For the Love of Money in here. It's really just, you could tell that a lot of work was done into this game to make this game as fun as it can be. So you got that, and if you think that's all the game has to offer, because it's like six stages in there, but there are different modes and everything that you're going through within the stages. But if you think that's all, no, my people, there's so much more, and there's been talked about online about this. First of all, let me say before I even mention that, to the crew that was responsible for this and NBA Playground, we talked about this before. Those who purchased NBA Playground from the beginning, and you had to experience all the problems that game had to offer. Their apology, again, these guys are owning up to their thing and they're, honoring us. We were going to get this game for free. And that's exactly what happened. This game was totally free. They offered it as a apology for the other game that we had to play. Which I thought was pretty good, but I did see the problems that was happening there, but they felt that, they wanted to do right. And as a result, people who got this game for free. Now, for those who don't get is the people who buy the physical copy gets an free DLC, an instant free DLC, a secret DLC that's in the game, which is not really so secret anymore because the internet just blasted it like crazy when in discovery of it. And that is, you get an extra stage, an extra game with a really special character. They call him Barack Fu Obama. Yes, you get to play as, quote-unquote, a man resembling Barack Obama in here. And what is said is that you go on a journey to attack and defeat the evil Kanye. Yes, that is, you heard that right. It is Kanye, but they kind of changed it around and spelled it C-O-N-Y-E. And it is who you think it is, and there is a stage called Death to Pablo or something like that nature, but it's really interesting. They went all out. There's also a guy in here who looks kind of like Trump, too. So, and they call him O'Neill or something. I got to look more further into that, but there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor in this game that they have talked about in here. There's even a Paris Hilton boss character in here, too. And I mean, they're really going out poking fun at certain pop cultural figures in this game. So, yeah, definitely go out of your way to check that out. This game is just, overall, you know, now, this game is not perfect by any stretch, but what it lacks in, you know, depth as far as gameplay aspect, it clearly makes up for the lighthearted and great comedy. Shaq has always been humble about when he has his shortcomings, whether, like I said, from the movies aspect or the video game aspect. But Shaq Fu was something that obviously was near and dear to his heart, and he wanted to redeem himself of it. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now, he has redeemed himself gratefully on this in comparison to the original game. I think fans of Shaq, fans of that game, or people who want to know whether this game is good enough or not. This to me is the equivalent of, it's the equivalent to me of a game that, or a movie that is not really meant to be an Oscar winner. It's just, you're just supposed to have fun with it. It's a popcorn movie, if you will. This is a, what I call a Skittles game. This is a game you just need to have fun. Don't take it seriously. They're not taking it seriously at all. It's just, you play the game not for the gameplay experience. You play this for the fun aspect, to see the cutscenes, the very fun cutscenes, to see what they're going to say next. It's just balls to the wall funny to play. And I think he, you know, all of the entire staff, Shaq, all of them who are involved in this need to commend themselves. With that said, I think the only thing I can really take away from this is just, like, I would like to have a control scheme for that factor. And if they would do a little bit more, I mean, they could, but they don't have to in this case. But as far as overall, I give this a B, a solid B, well-deserved. They did a great job with this. Shaq is officially redeemed here. So go out of your way to check it out. And I don't, unfortunately, because it was free, I don't know the price of the game. I think it's in a matter of maybe $19.99 or maybe $29.99 or that. It can't be any more than that. But go out of your way to check it out. Definitely gets a B on my status here. So the other game that I wanted to review, this is a much anticipated game as well, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, fighting game fans all over, that is Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, that is out now for the PlayStation 4, the Nintendo Switch, Steam, I believe, as well. I got a chance to, of course, I play it on the Nintendo Switch, and I think it's more important for me to play it on the Nintendo Switch, since there are a lot of skeptics out there who don't believe that fighting games are good on a PlayStation and a Nintendo Switch. But I also argue whether those people who are complaining are the ones who actually own a Nintendo Switch, because if you owned a Nintendo Switch and you played the fighting games, you would know how fluid these games are on the system. I have, again, had no trouble with this game at all, much like I had no trouble with any of the fighting games that I had, including Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition, which, again, I actually had the opportunity to actually beat, bucket list checked, Street Fighter 1 on a Switch control Joy-Con controllers. So if I can say I beat that game on there, you can't tell me you can't play any other game on there, because that game right there was completely unplayable to some extent. So, you know, go figure on that one. But what is very playable is Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, a fighting game that brings the developers, developing forces actually, of Arc System Works, Atlas, Sega, French Bread, and Rooster Teeth Productions together for one insanely fun crossover battle, which includes characters from Blaze Blue, Persona, Under Night and Birth, which is another fighting game that came out for in 2012 for the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 3, I believe, and the American anime Ruby, which is spelled R-W-B-Y, created by Monty Um. So if anybody's following that great series as well, I just started, I'm about to start jumping on that series as well. So a very popular web series that has come out, and they have had the opportunity to merge their characters on with all these other great characters as well. And one crazy Dragon Ball FighterZ-esque type of battle. And I say esque for a reason. So lo and behold, let's get to the news here on why this is a game that you need to check out. The story takes you to a singularity called the Phantom Field, which is bending the realities of multiple universes, which has also summoned various characters such as Blaze Blue, Ragna the Blood Edge, Yu from Persona, Hyde from Under Night and Birth, and Ruby from, well, Ruby. So, and many more, thanks to the mysterious voice that informs them that they have been selected for a tournament, which in order to win, you have to not only protect an object known as the Keystone, but you have to defeat others' characters to relieve them of their Keystones as well. The winner has been promised that they would return to their universe. But the question is, do they? So, the story, and this aspect, because I've only played so far the Blaze Blue version of the storyline. I'm now entering into the Persona storyline, so out of it. And if you played any Blaze Blue game or any Guilty Gear game, you know that there is multiple brackets in the storyline, so it's, you can't just play through the game once and think that you're playing through it. You're going to need to play through it again, because within that, there's going to be selections within the game, and you select one, and it takes you to a different road. So there's an algorithm going on here, a flowchart algorithm that's going on here that you don't see. And again, depending on what you pick, it takes you on a different road, and you may get a different ending within that certain situation. So you're gonna have, the replay value is always huge with Arc System Works game fighters. I don't know how much, I don't understand how much time they have to put in all that work. It's a lot of detail. Arc System Works has always put in some of the most deepest of gameplays and story development in any fighting game at all. So, I mean, this is no different here. They did it for when they did the Persona game. They did it for Dragon Ball FighterZ. They did it for Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue. This is no different here. So, this is tradition for them. So, they have it here, but you're going to have to play through the games multiple times to get different endings aspects out of it, too, which is great. And throughout the game, it's just a bunch of cool stuff out of there. So, like I said, this story, unlike the Persona series or the Blaze Blue series, which is a little bit more complex in storyline and more storyline and dialogue here. The story is here is a lot more simple and fun to follow compared to those games. You play through four different story modes, like I said, with different perspectives. The game not only shines in its artwork, but also the superb voice acting, which is one of the best things about any of the Arc System Works games, is that the voice acting, whether it be Japanese voice acting or the English dub voice acting, it's always great. They always superb in that. The interactions with the characters from different game universes blend very well here. And, you know, the dialogue and chemistry as well. Especially Ragna, the Blood Edge, played by, once again, by Patrick Sayce, is the show stealer for me in this game so far. As he always shows both action-packed anger in rage, as well as have his comedic moments in the game as well. When he interacts with certain people, such as bumping into the psycho-possessive New 13, which is a part of the Blaze Blue universe, which every time they get together, they always kind of remind me of, if anybody watched Two and a Half Men, when Charlie Sheen was the star of the show, when Charlie's interaction with Rose, who Rose is like his psycho stalker that he worked with. It's kind of an anime version of that to me. You know, and the other interaction too is when he argues with Persona's Kanji as well. And they get into a little rant, say, on there. So there's a lot of great moments in the story aspect as well. But it's really easy to follow compared to the other ones with a simple and, you know, simple premise and such in there. So it's really cool. And to check out, the gameplay is very similar to most tag battle games that you get to check out, such as more than any of the tag battle games. This mimics a lot of the elements of Dragon Ball FighterZ. Not all of it, but most of it, with a few contrasting factors. One of them is the class assault. Like for me, for the Nintendo Switch, if you hit the A button, that allows you to perform a double team attack on each on the enemy, provided that you connect to that enemy. So you have that. You got also the resonance blaze, which activates when your opponent or your team member is eliminated, and you have only a little bit of energy left. So it allows your gauge, your super gauge, if you will, to max out, giving you the opportunity to put in a super move and, you know, try to even odds or defeat or win the game just on that measure. Think of Ultra Instinct mode at the very end when Goku's getting his ass handed to him, pretty much. That's what you should expect from that. So that's a great thing. The combo system is very similar to Dragon Ball FighterZ in the sense that if you connect to an opponent with a light attack or a medium attack, in this case, and you could just keep tapping a button to create a combo system as well. And then also, I believe you can tag in your character and continue that as well from there. So you have that aspect. The only difference is, like, unlike fighters, you know, you can't, the medium attack that you use, you can't activate one of your super gauges to do a super move on them as well. So they left that element out to contrast it, you know, the gameplay value to give us something different in accordance to Dragon Ball FighterZ here. But they kept that element there, which makes it for a much more fun game experience for people who are casual fighting game fans or the hardcore, you know. And there's still, like, much like Dragon Ball FighterZ, there's still a really good technical aspect about the game too. It's not just all user friendly. There's still a lot of timing effects that you have as well. Shout out to my guys, the McKinnon brothers, because they know about, you know, animation and timing very well, especially when it comes to Dragon Ball FighterZ. I can't get a lick of win in Elijah's gameplay at all. So he hands it to me every single time. There's no doubt. He knows the timing of that thing. I don't understand why he's not an E-leaguer by now. Man, quit your job. But I digress. Nonetheless, the controls are very fluid, as you would expect from any of the games, especially on a Nintendo Switch. I actually even can say I've played a lot of Blaze Blue games, or whether it was on the PlayStation, the PS Vita, the 3DS, regardless, even the PS Vita, if you will. They feel extremely fluid on the Joy-Cons here. Like, I've been able to execute moves greatly in this game with no trouble at all. So, you know, I absolutely love it, man. Other game modes, including training mode, versus mode, online and offline, tactics mode, an offline mode that lets you familiarize yourself with the game's play mechanics, survival mode, gallery mode, lets you unlock a lot of various works of art in there and graphics, replay theater for your, you know, for practicing, and, of course, option mode. Of course, much like Guilty Gear Xrd and Dragon Ball FighterZ, there is a lobby mode. It starts you off offline. Thank goodness for that. You can opt to go online and join up with other people and link up with them and create a fighters guild and, you know, gameplay there. Or you could just play offline and, you know, go through the lobby on your own and play through all the different features there. If you are online and link up with people, you can face them in battle and, you know, create pretty much the same atmosphere that you would in any of the Arc System lobbies that you would. Now, the only thing I have not tried is doing online with this yet, because I'm pretty sure it's just as convoluted as the as Dragon Ball FighterZ, with all the different lobbies and places to go. And it's so, they need to find a much easier way to do that. It's not just them, it's a lot of these games. That seems to be the situation right now, is navigating people to certain places to play, you know, the gameplay yet. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy at all, but hopefully in the future there will be a much easier way to, or this, they'll have bigger servers to be able to accommodate a lot more capacity of, you know, gamers in these, you know, in these games that they want us to play online. So, and what can I say about the graphics that I already said? I mean, it's not the hand-drawn new style that you would expect out of Guilty Gear Xrd or Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's still the traditional style of pixel style art that they're doing, but it's the highest of quality that you can expect from Arc System Works. Especially if Guilty Gear is about to come out for the Switch, the original Guilty Gear. And if you see that game, and that game was phenomenal at the time. It was a step up in game, you know, animation and frame rates and all the stuff at the time, for it being a 16, 32-bit game or whatever. How far they have come from that time, because we were at all of what they did for Guilty Gear 1 and 2 and 3 and all the stuff, and then Blaze Blue. What they have done now is unbelievable, man. They have changed the. I mean, you got to give Arc System Wars credit for what they have done in the game, fighting game community. It's just absolutely outstanding. And Dragon Ball FighterZ at this point is the pinnacle of what they have done and of accomplishment, not only from just that, but just the fact that they compacted so much into a small size. Same with here. This is not a big game either. And what I truly believe, man, I mean, overall, this game provides everything that you'd expect from Arc System Works. This is a very stellar fighter, and I believe a evil tournament-worthy fighter at that. And easy for anyone to jump into thanks to the user-friendly and technical control scheme. If this is a prelude to the rumored Dragon Ball FighterZ that is supposedly that we're expecting or hoping to come to the Nintendo Switch and be announced at E3, this is great hopes for us. This is extremely great hopes for us because this plays every bit as good. It flows every bit as good. I think this is easily a prelude to that. The Switch is very high. There's very high hopes for it. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle is a great fighter for anybody. Great and deep cast of characters. I mean, just overall, I give this an absolute A. Absolutely a great. You know what? Screw it. I'll give it an A plus on this one. If you love any Blaze Blue game, and then you also add the Persona characters and Ruby characters and the Night End games with it. You know, it's just a great game, and with all your, and if you're a Persona fan, you gotta love this. You know, you put Persona and Ruby and, you know, and Persona alone together, that's good business. So, A plus all around for this game. Definitely, if you're a fighting game fan, go out of your way and check this out. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle for the Nintendo Switch gets an A plus, and I'm sure if that means if it gets an A plus here, it's going to get an A plus on the PlayStation 4 and Steam or wherever it else is playing at as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. Thank you all so much for joining us every week here on the show on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course TalkTimeLive.com. Thank you all so much. Continue to do so. Again, check out all of our content on TalkTimeLive.com, including our exclusives page where it has all the interviews of some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games. And look forward to everything that's coming up next. We're going to have a lot of guests coming up and in their future. Again, Megan Rand's coming in the next couple weeks to talk about his new album and much more. We're going to have Molly Flanagan come back on the show. Vic Mian is coming back. I may have more guests in the gaming development community as well coming back as well. Stay tuned for all that and more, ladies and gentlemen. This Sunday, we're going to review the debut premiere of Cloak & Dagger, Marvel's newest project on the Freeform Network, which will be coming out very soon. In fact, today is the 6th. It's coming out tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have a Talk Time post on our Facebook page for the ACMG Facebook page. So people are going to talk about their what they thought about it there. And then I'm going to review it on Sunday to give what I think. There's already early reviews that are saying this is a really good show. If it's anything, any inclination of this being as good as the Runaways, I'm extremely looking forward to it. I've read Cloak & Dagger when I was young, when I was a teenager, and I loved it. And it's great to see them that they only made a resurgence back and that they now have a show to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that and much more news going on because there was a lot of trailers coming out this week that we're going to be talking about and so much more news in there. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dak Xavier Josiah saying learn to let go, live life, and of course love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out here. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Sunday. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.